Hello again, welcome back to Mapu Online Learning Series. This is Sir Hex again for GED 104, Science, Technology, and Society. And today we're going to talk about Martin Heidegger's The Question Concerning Technology. Mapu Online Learning Series is the first podcast for the online courses of Mapua University School of Social Sciences and Education. So you can follow us at anchor.fm/mapua, or you can also look for us at Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, and all other podcast segments that you can think of. Except YouTube, no? Wala pa tayo sa YouTube. But, yeah. So, we're also available on Blackboard Collaborate, Blackboard Ultra. So, links will be made available for you to be able to access this episode. If you're listening right now as part of this course, you may open the supplementary visual material for this course titled Martin Heidegger's The Question Concerning Technology. This is available on your Blackboard Ultra platform. The title is available on Blackboard. And so it would be better if you would if while you're listening to this podcast, you will also browse through the slideshow presentation available. Okay, and also the assumption is that you are able to read and finish Martin Heidegger's The Question Concerning Technology, a reading that has been assigned by your professor in advance to this episode. Okay, so we better start. So Martin Heidegger is one of the most influential thinkers when it comes to technology at the time of before World War II. And so, full disclosure, he was a Nazi, and he pledged his support to Nazi Germany during the time of the rise of Hitler, and also retracted his support after. So Martin Heidegger was writing at, if we are going to contextualize his writing, or what he have observed rather, while he was writing the Question Concerning Technology. Martin Heidegger was witnessing a lot of scientific development during that time. So there was a lot of scientific engagements when it comes to developing weaponry, for example. So basically, at the same time that he was writing his critique of technology, he was also able to observe a lot of new military technologies like the V2 rocket. The V2 rocket is one of the most advanced ballistic missile weaponry during the World War II. These are basically rockets that could fire from Germany and could cross France and could reach the outskirts of London, which means it could cross the English Channel, one of the most advanced during its time. Okay, so Martin Heidegger was able to see a lot of hostile use of science and technology. So as such, he was able to write a critique on the use of technology, and asking the question, what would be the essence in Filipino, ano ang saysay, ano ang diwa ng teknolohiya, para saan ito, to whom does it work for, what is the bias of technology. If you go to slide 2, you would be able to see some that was highlighted points on the question concerning technology by Heidegger. He said that technology can be viewed as a means to an end. So when we say technology, usually we see technology just as a tool. Okay, so when we say it's just a tool, you know, a means for us to complete certain things. For example, you wanted you wanted to clean the floor of your room, no? So you would use certain technologies like a vacuum cleaner, a broom, okay? If you're more advanced, you're going to use the Roomba, a robotic vacuum cleaner that is like a small, like the size of a small weighing scale, okay, that could clean your room, no? So it is just being used, or it is just being viewed as a means to an end, okay? Or sometimes it can be viewed as a human activity. For example, maybe some of you would spend an entire day or an entire hour while you're listening to this, while browsing also your social media accounts, okay? So while you're browsing your social media accounts, changing 3 apps, okay, switching between the 2 apps, okay, at the same time. So maybe we also see technology as a human activity, okay? If we use, for example, it as a way for leisure, as a way for entertainment, okay? So we also see it not just as instrumental but also as anthropological. Both are correct. However, according to Heidegger, neither touches the essence of technology. If we are going to talk about the essence of technology, what is in the core or the purpose of technology? Okay? We are blinded if we're going to think about technology and assume that technology in itself is neutral. Okay? Like, you know, it doesn't have any other role, but you know, the Roomba doesn't have any other role but just to clean the room, alright? Well, maybe we can argue that, but if we go to more complex technologies, basically, these technologies are not neutral. For example, the nuclear weapon, right? The nuclear weapon is not neutral, basically. It is being used for political and military motives. So, what then is the essence or the cause of technology? Technology brings about change as its cause. Okay, so the cause is what is responsible for the effect, and the effect is indebted to the cause forever. Okay, basically it says that technology is the cause of change, and it is forever a cause of change. According to Aristotle, there are 4 ways in which this relation holds, and the unifying notion is that of starting something on its way to arrival. So for example, if we look at our example of a technology on slide 4, this is a small goblet, for example. Okay, so you would see that a small goblet has 4 causes called the causa materialis, causa formalis, causa efficiens, and causa finalis. Okay, you may look at slide number 9 to identify or to explain what are these 4 causes. If you look at causa materialis, number 1, it talks about the nature or the kind of material that comprises a certain technology. So in this case, for example, a silver goblet is made of silver. So the causa materialis is, of course, silver. Okay? Causa formalis talks about the form. Okay? So what kind of form does it take? Okay? Does it take the form of a small cup, a small goblet? Okay? So that is the form or causa formalis. What kind of shape does it take? Okay? We talk about causa finalis, we are talking about the purpose. For what purpose is a certain technology being used? In this case, for example, the goblet was being used for certain religious ceremonies like communion, the Christian religion. Okay, that is the causa finalis. And causa efficiens is the one who brought it or created it into reality, okay, or brought it or made the said technology. In this case, for example, the silversmith made the silver goblet, okay? So causa efficiens is the one who made it, in this case the silversmith. On the given example above on slide number 8, no, it was a bronze goblet, so it is the bronze smith who is the maker. Okay, so according to Aristotle, technologies, what they do is actually they bring forth. Okay, when we say bringing forth is the proper attitude and use of technology. Technology in some way integrated with the craftsman. The craftsman takes to some subject a thing which has a standalone essence. Through this process, the craftsman brings forth the craft item into appearance, which is when we talk about the craftsman, this is the causa efficiens. Okay, for example, when we talk about bringing forth, an example is a sculpture. Okay, take a block of marble, for example. The marble is its own subject with its own essence. The sculptor then takes the chisel and uses it as a tool to reveal the essence of the sculpture. So in a way, bringing forth brings form to a certain thing. Okay, take for example, the marble, it was chiseled and in order to create a sculpture, like something that you would see on slide 11. This is the Veiled Lady by Raffaele Monti, created in 1875. So despite becoming a sculpture, okay, the chisel was used to bring essence into the marble for it to become a sculpture. So there was aesthetic, there was beauty, there was expression on the sculpture. But if you look at its cause, it is still a marble. Okay, so hindi nagbago, it did not change the nature. You just bring forth, you just brought it into something else. Okay, so the nature of it was still marble, but you changed its appearance. It had a different purpose, but you did not basically change its nature. Okay, so according to Aristotle, this is the correct way of looking at technology. So going back to bringing forth, basically, the nature of bringing forth is that the sculpture, as our example earlier, itself wasn't fabricated or covered up in some way. Rather, it was illuminated or revealed. Okay, the craftsman did not manufacture, he revealed the potential of the marble. The dignity of the marble itself still stands, but just in a new form. If you are going to apply this principle to other things that we obtain through technology, treating aspects of nature as having a metaphysical essence, a certain necessity for reverence, then technology is a means towards fulfilling our needs while respecting nature's needs. In Filipino, sinasabi lang nito na sa pamamagitan ng bringing forth, pag nagbi-bringing forth ang isang technology, no, hindi niya binabago yung nature na isang bagay. Okay? So, ang ginagawa lang niya ay nire-reveal niya yung potential ng isang bagay. So, isang halimbawa natin yan nga, nakita natin kanina yung mga ano, no? Yung mga ginagawa ng mga iskultor, okay? Ng mga sculptors, okay? Mga craftsmen. Sa pamamagitan ng, pag nagbi-bring forth tayo rather, nakikita natin na napapanatili natin yung kalikasan ng isang bagay, ng isang bahagi ng kalikasan natin, no? Na for this example, no, yung marmol. Okay, ginamit yung marmol upang maipakita na makagawa ng isang sculpture. Sa kaibuturan nito or sa core ng isang sculpture, marmol pa rin siya. Hindi mo binago kung anong nature siya meron. Okay? Ano kaya yung mga naiisipan natin halimbawa ng ganito, the bringing forth, no? Mahalaga na maiisip natin kung ano yan, ano-ano itong mga ito. Okay? Pag gumagawa tayo ng sining, halimbawa, gumagawa tayo ng art, nakikita natin na sa ilang mga art na ginagawa natin, hindi natin binabago kung ano yung nature ng isang bagay. Okay? Ganito daw dapat ang gamit ng technology. Okay? Kung i-apply natin ito sa paggamit ng teknolohiya, sabi ni Aristotle, we should treat aspects of nature as having a metaphysical essence. Nature has its own essence. As such, there is a necessity for reverence. We have to respect the essence of nature. Technology is a means towards fulfilling our needs while respecting nature's needs. If you would look, for example, at certain indigenous peoples, no, they have this respect for nature. Most of their tools, most of their activities have this certain respect for the essence of nature. They do not tend to change the essence of nature. They do not tend to challenge the essence of nature. So as such, they were able to preserve and look at the essence of nature with reverence. Nire-respeto nila kung ano yung esensya ng isang bagay o ng isang resource. Okay? The other way of looking around technology, which is more prevalent right now, if you look at it, is challenging forth. Okay? So, challenging forth basically is the opposite. It is the most prevalent attitude and also the most improper one. With this attitude, subjects do not have essence, but they are merely viewed as material or resource. Okay? For example, when certain technologies look at the forest, they don't necessarily see trees. All they see is lumber. Lumber is turned into wood, and wood is then turned into various other things. Okay? Everywhere they look in nature, they only see raw materials. They set their machines upon the mass of potential lumber, liquidating the forest. Okay? So, for example, no, a lot of technology users would only look at forests. Tinitingnan lamang nila yung kagubatan imbis na sa pagiging kagubatan nito, no? Which is the essence of it, the nature of it. Nakita nila yung kagubatan or nakita nila yung forest as merely a source of raw materials. Okay? They do not look at it anymore as trees, as a group of trees. Okay? In a way, we are by changing the way we look at the nature of it, we are also undermining the essence. Okay? On slide 14, you're going to see there are two images of the globe. That is the image of the burning of the Amazon forest that was last year. Okay? And on the right side is the less talked about burning of the African forests, no? If we look at the burning of the South American forest, mainly Brazil, this was initiated by the policy of their president. Okay, so Jair Bolsonaro said that, you know, we are losing so much potential by taking care of the Amazon forest. Okay, sabi ni Jair Bolsonaro, it is burdening the Brazilian economy to take care of the forest. Instead, why not let's use the forest for its economic potential? So what they did was, a lot of people or a lot of companies backed by the government would burn the Amazon forest, and then they would use the land that they that was before occupied by forest. They would use the land for livestock raising, particularly beef. Okay, that's why because for the government of Brazil, they would make more money from promoting agricultural industry rather than preserving the forest. Okay, so nawala na yung tingin nila sa forest as forest. They looked at forest as resource, as land resource. Okay, so there was massive disrespect. Okay, same thing also happened last year in the rainforests of Indonesia. So last year there was a massive wildfire in Indonesia, brought about by the burning of the forest because they need more land in order to establish plantation for palm oil. If you took a bath today or you took a bath yesterday, basically you have used palm oil because palm oil is being used in most of, as an ingredient in most of cosmetic products, soaps, shampoo, no? So in order to provide for the demand of palm oil, what people would do is they burn the forest, including habitats for orangutans, habitats for elephants, and many other wildlife. Susunugin nila yung lahat in order to find the land for palm oil plantation. So if you look at that, we no longer respect the nature of forest. We just view forest as a source of a material. Okay? Modern technology, according to Heidegger, are both primitive crafts and modern, and they are both revealing. Okay? Primitive crafts and modern technology are both revealing. But the revealing of modern technology is not a bringing forth, but a challenging forth. Because basically what modern technology does is it takes a different look at nature. It changes the way we see nature, and we look nature at economic terms. So as such, we are not respecting the essence of nature. We're not looking at marble as marble anymore, but we're looking at marble in a different way. Okay, so for example, if you would use marble for, if you would mine marble and then use it as flooring, use it as part of the construction materials that going to use, no? So it is no longer being used as marble itself. You are no longer revering the nature of marble. You are not no longer creating out of essence, with respect to the essence of the marble. In fact, you're looking at marble as a different kind of resource. Okay, so by challenging forth, modern technology challenges the nature by extracting something from it and transforming it, storing it up, distributing it, and having different other uses of it without respect for it and its essence. Okay, one example that was given by Heidegger was the dam. Okay, so if we don't know how dams work, ang ginagawa ng dam, binabarahan niya yung ilog. Okay, so pag binarahan niya yung ilog, aapaw yung ilog, no? So tataas yung ilog doon sa kabilang side, tapos doon sa kabilang side wala nang water, no? So pag tumaas yung ilog doon sa isang side, they would open a small there will be a small opening on the dam wall in which they would put turbines there. So the pressure of the water would turn the turbine and as such would create electricity. Okay, so if we look at it, is a dam bringing forth or a challenging forth? Okay, clearly it's a challenging forth because if we look at the river, how does the technology look at the river? Does it give respect to the essence of the river as a river in itself, or did it change the way we view rivers just from just being a mere body of water to becoming a source of power, no? So yung reference for example ni Heidegger in Germany, yung river, it was seen as a resource of power. So basically it's a challenging for, no? The creation of a river, because we look at the nature in a different way, no longer as no longer with respect to its essence. Okay? So, the essence of modern technology is it is revealing, or the poesis, what we call the poesis, it still reveals, but it is not bringing forth. Okay? According to Heidegger, modern technology is impatient, violent, urgent, and we might note here that this violence applies as much to the information age as to the machine age. As modern technology is always impatient, lagi nagmamadali. Okay? It is massive, it is urgent, and whatever goes into its path, it doesn't have mercy on anything and on anything that goes directly on its path. Okay, so sabi ni Heidegger, it's no longer bringing forth, but it is challenging forth into revealing. Okay, so if you look at the following photos on slide 18, you will be asked if this is bringing forth or challenging forth. Okay, so the first photo is basically an industrial complex or set of buildings with exhausts and chimneys. Okay, is it bringing forth or challenging forth? Second photo is so the answer will be it is challenging forth because it looks at nature. Basically, you know, the photo is a coal-fired power plant. So we use coal, we burn coal, and it is the dirtiest and cheapest source of energy. And by challenging for it, we no longer look at coal as fossils of dead plants and dinosaurs, but we look at coal as a source of energy. The second photo is an agriculture, a small non-mechanized, non-industry scale agriculture. So there's a farmer there, okay, doing agricultural work, or doing farm work. It is bringing forth because it does not change the way we see nature, which is a provider of food. Okay, so next one is the third photo, which is a dam, a gold mine pit. Okay, so it's a mine pit, and if you look at it, of course it's challenging for it because we use we look at minerals not as minerals in itself, but as an other resource for various other uses like jewelry, like electronics, no? The photo above that you see, that is actually in the Philippines. That is not entirely sure if it's in Surigao or in Rizal. But we have much of those in Rizal. You would see if you are riding an aircraft before landing into the Manila International Airport, you would see a lot of open pit mining facilities in Rizal. Basically, that looks like the same as that indicated in the photo. How about this photo on slide number 25? So, this is a cleanup drive. Okay, so cleanup drives are considered bringing forth, and the clincher question is on on slide number 27, which is a wind farm. Okay. Despite us looking at wind farm, that, you know, wind farm are renewable energy, they have very little emissions, they're friendly to the environment, it doesn't really concern that. It is still challenging for it because we still revise the way we see at wind. Okay. Wind before was seen basically as, you know, wind. That is the nature, the essence of it. Okay? But since we started the wind farms, that happens, that means that we are no longer looking at wind as is, but we are looking at wind as a resource for power. Okay? So that in itself is challenging for me. Okay? With modern technology, doing challenge forth instead of bringing forth. Okay? Everything in its path becomes resource, and then it churns out the resource. No? Imagine it like a big machine monster, okay, in which everything on its path, it's going to consume. Okay? Then, according to Heidegger, humans then are, or the whole nature, including humans, are at risk of becoming the standing reserve. When we say the standing reserve, it says that man is challenged to become part of the standing reserve, and basically, technology is going to consume and exploit everything in nature. Okay? So, as I've mentioned earlier, maybe you could imagine challenging for technologies as big machines, and we are nothing more than resources waiting to be consumed or exploited by this technology. Being a part of the standing reserve, we are like in a stockpile of resource, and eventually we will become exploited by itself. Okay? There are a lot of other examples that we already have. Like right now, we are looking at fuel, for example, oil as a valuable resource. And humans for the past 100 years have been extracting oil from underneath the surface for our own use. Okay? Aside from that, we are looking at another resource which is called data. Okay, so humans are producers of data, and a lot of technologies now thrive because of data. Okay, and basically humans are becoming the resource of data, because human activities would make data, and this data is being analyzed, being processed in order to understand human activities, so that products and services by various companies would custom fit to human activities that we have. An example of that, no, would be how you shop on Shopee and Lazada. If you're going to experience, for example, you were searching on Google or on Facebook Marketplace a lot of things about a soccer ball, okay? So basically, the technology is recording this activity that, you know, this person is looking for a soccer ball. And what happens is that they analyze this data, and then they will customize all the information available for you, so that you would consume, or you would become a patron of information services that they have. Okay, kaya pagbukas mo ng Google mo, wala ka pang sinasabi, available na sa search data nila si soccer ball. Okay. So you are a mere resource. You are no longer just a user of technology. As I've said earlier, technology is not neutral. Okay. On slide 31, Heidegger talks about enframing, and Heidegger discusses enframing on the context of the hydroelectric power plants identified earlier. Okay. He said that hydroelectric power plants on the river, set to the river as being the material under human control. However, the plants dam up the river, and it is no longer the river as such. It is enframed as power source. It unlocks the kinetic energy, transform it into electric potential, and it is transmitted through wires until you flip a switch to a lamp, etc., etc. So, what enframing does basically is, there was like an imaginary frame, and what you do is you put inside the frame a certain part of nature, for example forest, no, and then if you look at it separate from the forest, then you can look at forest in a different way. Okay, so you no longer look at it as forest, you just look at it as a resource, okay, as a source of raw material. Okay, so for example, if you would enframe, if you would separate river from how other rivers are being viewed, okay, then you can look at river as a mere resource rather than a body of water. Okay, So by in framing, you're actually rationalizing, no? Gagawa mo, inaano mo, parang pinagbibigyan mo yung pagtingin mo na ay itong nature resource na to, hindi naman to ano. Ay itong nature na to, hindi naman to na bahagi ng nature, resource na siya. Okay? So may iba na yung pagtingin natin sa pamamagitan ng in-framing. A good example of that would be the proposed Kaliwa Dam. So Kaliwa Dam, this is located in Rizal. A lot of other indigenous peoples are residing in the area. They look at the river as a valuable part of their lifestyle. Okay, so they source their water there. They use the river for transportation, etc. And then a lot of government or a lot of individuals are looking at Kaliwa Dam or Kaliwa River to become Kaliwa Dam. So that would mean they would flood the area, turn it into a dam, and the dam would become the source of water for Metro Manila. So by enframing that, meaning the frame was being created, no, sinasabi, eh, wala na tayong water for Metro Manila. This is the closest body of water amenable to become a source of water for Metro Manila. No? So we are already enframing Kaliwa Dam to become the source of water. So we no longer look at it as a river, as an innocent river anymore. Okay? So we look at it as a resource. So by enframing it, we get to rationalize how we view it. Ah, sige, kasi kailangan talaga natin yan. Kailangan talaga natin ng tubig in the next 100 years. And it is true that we really need a resource. Okay? But if you look at Kaliwa Dam in a different way, then we are not bringing forth, we are challenging forth. And the dam that will be established in that area will change the way people look at the river forever. No? According to Heidegger, looks like by promoting or not controlling challenging forth technologies, it seems like people or humans are destined, okay? The destining of man to reveal nature carries with it the danger of misconstruing. Men are sent upon the way of revealing the actual as a standing reserve. Mukhang forever na daw tayo na magiging resource na lamang at lalamunin tayo nitong mga technologies that we are using, okay? Technologies that the way of revealing is bringing forth rather than challenging forth. Man is in danger of becoming merely a part of the standing reserve. And alternatively, he may find only himself in nature. The irony of that is that man would allow technologies to consume nature, but man in itself is part of nature. No? He can only find himself in nature. He may think that the ordering of the world through technology is the fundamental mode of revealing. So the real threat right now comes from the essence of technology, not from the use or the activities or the products that it create. Okay? So ngayon siguro, if we understood the concept, makikita na natin na yung essence ng technology, no? Yung saysay ng technology, yung nature ng technology. No? Ito yung tunay na threat, hindi yung kung ano ang produkto na ginagawa niya, aktibidad na ginagawa niya, no? So it is the essence that is the real danger. We are then at danger of being swallowed by technology. Okay? So what could be done in order to prevent this swallowing? Okay? This danger of being consumed by technology as part of nature, okay? Sabi ni Hölderlin, Hölderlin is a poet, no? He said that only art would be able to bring forth, no? The saving would allow a bringing forth that is not a challenging forth, okay? How are we going to reveal ourselves not just as standing reserve, but by respecting the essence of nature, Okay? Sabi niya, poetry and other arts have the power to reveal in the sense of bringing forth. Okay? Poetry is included in the Aristotelian technique and is akin to modern technology. So, kaya na ilaban ng sining. Okay? Yung kayang labanan ng sining yung pagiging challenging forth ng ating technology. It may be the best means for getting at the essence of technology itself. Okay? So, by using art, for example, in a lot of looms, no? Loom ay yung panggawa ng tela. Okay? Right now, we have a lot of industrial looms which just look at thread and textiles as just a resource. But if you look, for example, into indigenous way of making clothing, for example, in the mountain province, no, meron din sila dong loom o yung panghabi na ginagamit nila, no? They would create beautiful art out of that. And in a way, we look at them at how they use thread and textile to create art as a beautiful clothing, no? Nagiging way of revealing nila itong paggamit ng technology, no? According to Holderin, no, the essence of technology is nothing technological, essential reflection upon technology, and decisive confrontation must happen in a realm that is on one hand akin to the essence of technology and on the other fundamentally different from it. Dapat daw ay mayroon tayong ipangtapat sa technology so that we will be able to control technology, something na kaya nating itapat sa technology na parang technology din pero fundamentally iba siya sa technology. At yung realm daw na yon ay art. Okay? Only if reflection upon art for its part does not shut its eyes for the constellation of truth concerning which we are questioning, for questioning is the piety of thought. Kailangan daw i-challenge lagi ng art kung ano ang nature ng technology. Okay? So sa pamamagitan ng art, no, makita natin na na-challenge natin ang technology by bringing back what is the essence of nature of it, no? By bringing reverence to the nature and preserving the essence of this nature. No? So ano pang ibang mga example natin ito na nakikita natin na very artful yung paggagawa, no? For example, if we look at preparation of food, for example, no? Or if we look at various uses of technology by the indigenous people, so makita natin, no, na very skillfully and masterfully done yung mga products na meron sila, and they don't particularly do it for money, they don't look at it as a way of livelihood, no, but as a way of creating something that would reveal the essence of nature from these products or these objects. Okay? Okay, so that goes for our episode today. If you have questions or concerns, you can email us or email me at hmjcbrizuela@mapua.edu.ph. You can also tweet us. You can tweet MapuaGED. That's twitter.com/MapuaGED if you have questions. Or you can also tweet me personally. Follow nyo na rin ako. twitter.com/HexBrizzy. HexBrizzy. Thank you very much for... Thank you very much for listening for our episode today. If you have more for our activities and assignments, you can look up at the activities that will be made available for you on Blackboard. Okay? Thank you very much and have a good day, everyone, and stay safe and bye-bye.